from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Okay, today we're actually going to talk about something that we did this weekend. Actually, we went over to a wedding. And
more wedding talk. It's that time, isn't it?
It really is that time. Apparently, in the city that we were in, city of Newmarket, there was like three weddings going on at the same time. So it's like right at the last weekend of summer, everybody's decided to get married. Because I guess they just want to say, well, we got married last summer.
Yeah.
And it makes it pretty damn easy to find out when your anniversary is. It's the first day of fall, I guess. Mm. Which, you know, in terms of temperature and stuff like that, I don't think we could ask for a better day. It was just a beautiful day.
Yep.
But the one thing I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to get your reaction, is the ceremony itself. Now, I don't go to a lot of weddings. None of my friends are married. Like, this is the first friend of mine that actually gets married. So it's kind of like, you know, last time I was at a wedding, I think I was 12 or something like that.
And what do you think that says about you?
I guess it just says that maybe I just ruin people's relationships that are around me or something.
Yeah.
I'm the anti-wedding guy, maybe. Mm-hmm. So everybody that is around me becomes so cynical of weddings. They're like, that's not happening, baby, or something like that. Anyways, so it was done at a traditional, sort of, I believe they were Roman Catholics. So we went to a Roman Catholic church to witness the whole ceremony. Now, the ceremony lasted an hour. But it was funny because because the groom was not himself religious, they're like, it's a good thing, like somebody was telling me, it's a good thing he wasn't, because if he is, it would have been long.
Yeah.
You gotta love these. You gotta love this. My particular rant, although I won't necessarily call it a rant, is just what I found kind of annoying is that the entire time you're there, pretty much I think the couple's name is mentioned about four times, and the word Jesus is probably uttered like about 100. They're like, we are gathered here in Jesus' house to praise Jesus on the Jesus' day of these two whatevers.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I mean, the entire time I'm thinking, okay, you know what? I know where we're at. There's a statue of 20-foot bronze statue of Jesus above them. I don't think anybody's forgotten that this is his house. But I don't know. For me, it just kind of annoyed me. Like, the whole time I'm like, look, this is this couple's day here. Could you give the Jesus thing, I don't know, a bit of a rest here? I don't, just me.
Or at the very least, give him fair play.
Yeah, give him fair play. Give him something like, this is as much, because they were like, this is more his day even than it is their day. I'm like, what? Your invisible zombie is more important than their day?
Well, my favorite part of it was basically, one of the parts is that you have to choose a passage from the Bible that kind of represents your love and stuff. And what they did, what Eric and Kelly did, is they picked out a passage that had nothing to do with God.
It
was a poem from it was a love poem from one of the passages in the Book of Solomon, and it had nothing to do with God. The passage was strictly about
very
love.
Neutral, very
yeah,
neutral.
It was a very smart choice. I'm like, nice, well played. And then the priest is like, although this doesn't have anything to do with Jesus, I'd like to give you the context, the larger context, as it relates to Jesus. And I'm like, oh, talk about bringing it back.
And it was a good 20 minutes where he was explaining, saying like, well, love is only true because the Lord Jesus died and he loves you.
Let me ask you something. I might have missed it. Did he actually read the passage that they chose? I don't think he did.
No, I believe they did before. It was the song part that they sang, which
that was it?
I believe so. Yeah. But the thing was, he was just trying to explain, like, the whole, well, you know, these two love each other, and Jesus loved you so much that, and I'm like, come on,
it's
buddy.
It's like your love plays into their love. But it's the whole thing, like we were talking about last time with my uncle who was in town. He was saying that you got to understand that we don't get it, because in our context, from our point of view, we don't see it the same way. They really see it as the whole point of this is they're calling down God to bless this wedding, and the whole point of having a wedding is to get God involved and be like, yo, God, bless this and sit over it and be like the man about it.
I just
dog.
What makes me laugh a little bit, I can totally understand, I totally agree, is the fact that they have to do so much coaxing, like, let us do these eight songs and then maybe he's gonna come down. I'm like, well, it's his house, he's not even showed up yet.
Well, it's
like
more,
I'm pretty sure he got the invitation.
No, I think it's just to, like, you know, it's the whole thing of paying tribute to God and everything like that. It's, you know, you're asking a favor basically, so you really want to big him up. is the general concept that I kind of get from the whole process. So I can understand the whole point, but here's something that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about you and how you were during this wedding.
I wear my emotions on my sleeve.
Throughout the entire thing, whenever the priest would start talking about God or talking about Jesus or saying any of the prayer, Jake would go like this.
And then he wasn't making any noises.
Then, yeah, you were. You were breathing really heavily and be like, ah. And then you'd put your head in your hands and you would shake your head and you would just look like it was. You know how you always say that you don't like plays because there's no subtlety. They're all acting for the rafters so everybody can see.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically what you were doing.
Yeah,
you
but I was sitting in the back. It wasn't for anybody except for my own benefit. And besides, like, this is the only way that I can vent. I hate religious ceremonies. They are, not only are they boring, but, and obviously they're preachy, that's the whole point, but I just find them just so, when you look from a perspective, when you're there in a perspective, and you don't believe whatever it is shit that they're slinging at you, all of a sudden you're like, wow, you guys are really pretentious about this whole, like, your view of the universe. I can't stand it.
I just thought that it was kind of funny, because I thought the same thing about you, and about your pretentious view of the universe and how you can't even come into this church, which is there. Basically, you can't even go into their place knowing that what you're going to get and still not...
Well, I would have brought some earplugs if I could. I mean, the whole...
But that's just the whole thing. That's going there to be like, la, 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 la. I just find it to be that kind of pretentious atheist nature that lots of people just find so annoying.
Imagine if I was doing, like, say I was bringing them over to my non-religious church, right? And this entire time, I'm just going on about, oh, you know, there really is no God, and God is a fabrication for children, and you are all weak for believing it, because basically that's the reverse of what they're doing, okay? It really is. They're not going around saying, like, this is the truth as we see it. I'm like, give me a fucking break. You're there getting bashed in the head saying, like, this is the fucking truth of the world. He did this. Recognize. And I'm just like, I'm getting sick and tired of that. I could have handled it. Like, I was handling it fine for the first 20 minutes, and then I was losing my shit. I was like, this is enough. Are you done yet? And I was upset. Also, the whole fact of being like, why are you ignoring this married couple? And I thought the funniest part also, when they were making the vows, all right, the clever little shit they were bringing in, be like, do you promise to raise them as Catholics and have babies and blah, blah, blah? Like, I have to agree? Say, I promise? Fuck you, man. Like, what can I not say? No, I don't promise. I do not promise the fact that I will raise them Christian. I promise that I will let them make their own decision. How about that? Oh, I can't promise that? You're not going to marry me now? I can accept everything that you're saying right now or I don't get a license to wed. Thanks a lot, priest. You're really putting me in a really comfortable situation. I appreciate that. You know, like, that's the whole time with the groom. That's what he's having to face. I mean, sure, he doesn't give a shit.
Dude, he doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't give a shit. But I'm like, I guess in a sense, I was just like, man, if I was put in that position, I would be mad. I would be angry. Mm-hmm. I was like, not feeling this pain because he doesn't have that pain. But I was feeling
Eric
that I was in that position.
Just for context, Eric is about the biggest non-theist out there.
Oh my God! Like, the I think he's probably thought about the concept of God like twice.
Well, see, here's the thing: I used to consider myself to be a non-theist, and that I just didn't give a damn. And unfortunately, you've dragged me into the position where I've basically had to pick a team.
Yeah, but you were just ignoring it before. I mean, like, I just put it in your grill.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, like, he doesn't want to...
As you always do, you put it in everybody's grill. I'm not gonna say it's a bad thing, because, I mean, it is kind of your job now.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I'm not going to fault
you
for it.
And we make a radio show putting it in other people's grills, so you're guilty of that shit, too.
Yeah, it's like when you get angry at me for being a cynic. I'm like, dude, I am a professional cynic. That is my day job.
All right, well, you're a professional cynic about MMA. I'm like, maybe that it shouldn't spill over to the concept of love, because the whole time, see, I'm being cynical about this whole God thing, but the funny thing happening in the background here is that Ryan the whole time is like internally angry. He's like, this marriage will not last because love doesn't exist. And
you can't just put it out there, because we got friends that listen to the show and they'll go and say, Eric, Ryan doesn't believe your marriage is going to last. Let me just put it in context. Here's the context. I was sitting there, and at first I was getting all teary-eyed, and then all of a sudden, like, my fucking iron clamp would come down and be like, well, fuck love. This is bullshit, fake crap. And I'm like, it was going back and forth. I had a very unusual, it was a very confusing day for me, emotionally. And so I did what anybody does in situations like that. I got drunk and I stole a golf cart and
drove it around.
And I drove it
and
around.
He became the hero to teenagers who didn't think that an adult could be so cool.
Yep.
Little do they know that he is not an adult. He is a pseudo teenager.
Yep.
Anyways, okay. The one thing I want to talk today about is I received this email from one of my friends who, because there's a few people who try to suggest stuff for the show.
And we're always very happy to
get
those
suggestions. And we're very, very happy. So just a heads up, if you have any news or anything that you think is interesting,
or
you can
any
always
ideas
email,
or concepts you want us to discuss.
Yeah, email me at, you can email me at jacobforte@gmail.com.
You don't have the Good Atheist email?
No, I never really bothered. I just didn't care.
Good. I'm glad you didn't care enough to do that.
I just didn't want the .net. You know? Like, I know. Nobody likes the .net. It was the only one I could get. You know?
Boo-hoo.
Whatever. It's like, besides, I mean,
why don't you pray to Jesus for a .com?
Whatever. I got to apparently do a 2-hour ceremony if I want him to listen.
You know,
you sing
should get
nothing
the,
but
the
hymns.
The good atheist.fm, because we are more radio than we are anything else.
Mm. I guess. Whatever. That's not the point. I'm telling him an email address, and that's the one I'm going to stick with. So jacobforte@gmail.com.
And any love letters or any hot atheist chicks out there can email me at ryanharkness@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you want to date a guy who doesn't believe in love. Anyways, so the email that I received is a couple in Toronto, which is a fairly, it's kind of disturbing. I wanted to talk about it. It's this couple that are Moorish Americans. And the thing is, they have a 9-month-old who is suffering from malnutrition. And the couple brought it to the hospital. And when the doctor said that it needed treatment, they ran off with it and hid for 5 days. Because the authorities were, put out not an APB, but because they didn't want to release the name of the couple for fear of releasing the name of the child or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they tried to find them, and finally they reappeared because the baby was doing even worse. And then the kid was taken into child...
Protective services.
So the whole thing was that there was a debate about whether or not these people's religious rights were trampled. Now, you don't know anything about Moorish Americans, so I'll just give you the little heads up. Basically, in 1913, there was a guy called Timothy Drew who basically started this religion called Moorish Science of America. And basically, he believes that all black people are descended of the Moors. The Islamic conquerors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they are Muslims.
Like that, what Morgan Freeman played in that Robin Hood movie. He was a Moor.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Yeah. So they kind of a short history of it. They had a fairly large following of African American Muslims. Although interestingly enough, they split off into a couple groups after he died. People obviously claiming there was resurrection, and one of the split off groups actually became later the Nation of Islam. So the whole Malcolm X thing, Louis
Black
Farrakhan.
And...
Anyways, that was kind of like the beginning of it. So these ones, like they dress in those
Moorish Americans.
Moorish Americans dress in like those long dresses, like those African dresses with the what do they call the hat thing?
Skull caps.
No, not skull caps.
Oh, the ones that are more the shape and the circular.
Yeah,
and
I can't believe I just forgot it. It's like the one piece of research I neglected because I just thought I'd remember automatically.
Yeah.
Anyways, what
goes
I'm
to show
about.
You, there's no.
It's like the Shriner's hat. What do they call them?
The fez.
The fez. Yeah, yeah.
I thought you needed a little. It needed to be. No, you're messing up. You're calling it a fez. It's not a fez. Okay. Fez are like the tall ones, and you put them on monkeys. The thing you're talking about is the more. It's like the Farrakhan. It's got like an African name. So don't even pretend to say it's a fez because you're going to spread misinformation, and then people are going to kick their asses.
Look, it's this thing.
Oh shit! It is the fez.
It's a fez. It's a fucking fez.
Okay.
Anyway, so they wear
monkeys
they wear...
and Moorish Americans. I guess.
Oh man, I can't believe he said that. We're in so much trouble. Okay. Anyways. So the debate is like, well, they were just expressing their religious rights, and because the whole thing is that they don't believe in traditional medicine, they're more like the homeopathic shit that doesn't work kind of thing, and So they're debating about like they're angry that child services took them away because they're like, well, we're just expressing our religious beliefs. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, it's the same thing that happens all the time with those Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're saying no blood transfusions and shit. Remember when there was that girl who gave birth to all those kids, and she was like, half of them are going to die.
There's like six kids Six tuplets?
Sextuplets.
Yeah, and get this. You know, the annoying thing, they needed a blood transfusion. She didn't want to give one. But the same fucking person had just, you know, had taken fertility fucking drugs. Well, apparently that's okay when you're trying to get pregnant. But, hey, they're dying because you took too many, and they need a blood transfusion. But it's like, my religious belief is blah. Well, you can make decisions about yourself, but I'm sorry. Your religion doesn't automatically become your children's religion. This is the part that annoys me the most, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, well, I am Catholic, therefore my child must be raised this particular way. That's not your right to force your religion on them or your religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. Until they become adults and they can make that choice for themselves, if they don't want a blood transfusion, they're 18, go ahead and croak.
But it's
funny. I don't care.
This story's in Canada, right?
Yeah, this is in Toronto.
This shit happens in Canada all the time because the fact that we don't hear about it in America, is it because the government doesn't do that kind of crap?
It's because they don't have health care, so they don't give a crap.
It's true.
They're like, you're dead.
People die all the
time.
See
ya. I'm sure it happens all the time. But, I mean, again, we consider it... It hits our news because of socialized medicine. We have no choice but to take care of them. So, yeah. I mean, in the States, the doctors can say, like, whatever.
For whatever reason, if they're just like, we don't want to pay, and it'd be like, okay, see ya.
Exactly. But over here, it's, you know, it's much more of a social net, so, and a safety net. So when as soon as that kind of stuff comes to head, then, you know, everybody gets involved, and it makes a big story. My whole thing, and the part that I wanted to just rant about a little bit, is this sentence that basically the mother of the, or the grandmother, said this about the mother of the 9-year-old child. She says, she didn't know anything about the religion her daughter had adopted, but said that she was certain the mother would never intentionally harm her own child. Now, this is the thing. Intentionally harm her own child. You see, when you're part of a belief system that isn't based on anything that's real or good, like homeopathic medicine, of course you don't intentionally harm someone. You are unintentionally harming someone. That's the problem, because you're not making smart decisions. You're making decisions based on, like, I don't know,
On very
faulty information. So, of course, she's not a bad person. She's just, unfortunately, kind of stupid.
Well, this is the whole thing. My whole problem with all of that, homeopathic medicines and everything, like, we were watching the newest season of Bullshit, which has just started recently, and they were doing an episode on sleeping pads. And one of the sleeping pads was this ridiculous...
A heated pad?
Yeah, new age heated pad. And the woman actually said that it helps cure cancer. And this is the most dangerous kind of stuff that you can tell. I mean, to me, somehow I don't understand how homeopathic medicine gets away with the claims that they make, and they don't get put in jail for it, because this is stuff that people will stop treatment of actual functioning drugs to do. And I'm not a big fan of the whole medical industry and how they shove lots of prescriptions down people's faces and how they overcharge for it and this and that. But at the same time, I recognize the shortcomings of that system, and I definitely recognize the shortcomings of
a system that just doesn't have any value whatsoever. It's like saying, well, there are some problems with conventional medicine and overprescription.
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Or also, any time that something can help you, it can harm you. That's the honest truth. Mm-hmm. And a person, you know, you don't get, there's no zero-sum drug, okay? You take penicillin, for instance, it can help, you know, fight an infection, but it also kills healthy cells. It's just what it does, you know? That's why you just don't take it all the time.
Yeah.
But to be based on nothing, like my whole thing is that, yeah, obviously it's not intentional. And the parents really have to understand that it doesn't matter if you really, you know, loving your child is fine and great, but it doesn't guarantee their health. You have to make the smart choices, the stuff that isn't based on, oh, well, we distrust medicine. Medicine is a white man's invention. Because the thing you have to understand, the reason they also don't like it is Nation of Islam, or even the Moorish Americans, is a racist organization. We're not going to fucking lie about this. Mm. They believe that black people are superior to any other race. They are the precursor race and therefore better. And that, you know, white people, Jews, everybody else has been slowly poisoning them. That it was Jewish doctors that created AIDS and gave it to black people. You know, these are the kind of beliefs they have.
Yeah.
So they're distrustful of, like, of medicine because it is a white man's invention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they prefer this whole witch doctor bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just, that is irresponsible, and it is based on prejudice. Okay? It's prejudicial information. It's not smart information. So if you don't make that, You know, if you don't make that leap of saying, I need to think outside the box for the safety of my own child, if you're putting your religion ahead of their safety, then you are a bad parent. I'm sorry. You are. You are a fucking bad parent. And that is it.
I just kind of like the fact that our government has something built in to make these kinds of decisions for the parents. Because this is the funny thing. I got a figure for going back to the Jehovah's Witnesses that had the babies and they needed the blood transfusions. They got the blood transfusions because the government took the babies away and gave it to them, and some of them survived, and I think one or two of them didn't. But anyways, the ones that did survive survived, obviously, because they got those transfusions. So as a parent, as a religious person, it's the kind of thing where, you know, maybe I'm just thinking too rationally about that. I'd be like, whoa, I couldn't do that, but I'm glad that the government took them away and did that, and there's nothing I could do about it because I didn't want to. It's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, when God asks that dude, hey, go and stab your son in the face.
Yeah,
and he was going to do it. And then God's like, gotcha. And he's
psych.
He's like, whew, thank goodness, because that was going to suck. It'd be the same kind of thing where it's like, well, you know, God's will and all. If God's will was to be like, I'm going to test you, and then I'm just going to take away your ability to stop me. To me, I figure that's a pretty good gimme and a gotcha. And it's like, yes, thank you, God, for fucking around, but letting me believe my stupid shit and still...
Yeah. It's really kind of funny that a lot of religions, and I think this is their biggest weakness, remove that personal element of decision out of your life, right? You're not in control. Your isms, your ideology is in control. So you don't actually make any choices. The choice is already made for you. And I think that's actually why when a person asks me who's more moral, a person who's very religious or a person who's not, odds are it might be the person who's not religious, because at least the choices that they make are all choices that they had to make. They had to look inside themselves, view the ethics, and make that final choice. And it wasn't made for them. When the choice is made for you, saying that there will be no blood transfusions, then the morality of any situation isn't brought into question, at least not for you, because, well, the decision's already been made. Mm-hmm. You're never faced with those really difficult choices. You're only faced with, like, the aftermath of the choices that were already made for you, and then somehow, like, are being, you know, you have to be brave, saying, like, well, God works in mysterious ways, this was perhaps a test, or blah, 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 when really you ignored that... You know, that challenge, the challenge to your ethics, the challenge to your beliefs.
And that's kind of the scary thing about religion in general, is that if you fall on the wrong side of some kind of...
wrong side of the tracks.
So, yeah, some kind of situation, you could find that there are a lot of people out there who won't who aren't going to help you that you figure would.
Well, it's like, imagine this. There was a scenario that, remember Immanuel Kant, like, he was a philosopher, right? And he just said that basically you should always tell the truth. Even if there's a guy that comes over to you and he's like all bloody and he's like, oh my God, you gotta help me. Don't tell anybody where I am. Runs in your house and another guy with an axe comes to you and you're like, where'd he go? If you have a belief that you say, I will always tell the truth, then you just did something immoral because the choice was already made in advance. Of course you can't have, like, rules.
This is that guy's actual opinion that you have to always tell the truth?
Well, no, he was using that as a comedic example,
of
right?
Of why you shouldn't always tell
the truth. Yeah, of why morality is, say, contingent, right? Of why you can't have these steadfast rules, because you'll be placed in situations where there's no one thing that is perfect. There's no rule that will work in every context. Mm-hmm. And this is just a perfect example. This rule, your rule that we can't trust Western medicine, doesn't fucking work. You're a bad, bad parent for thinking that you could just put all the responsibility of raising a child in, you know, where there are...
into the Holy Scripture.
Into the Holy Scripture, when there are so many things that, you know, are not covered in it, or if they are, they're covered completely wrong. But the idea that you shouldn't get blood transfusion, that is stupid. That is very stupid. You need them if you're going to survive, say, a car accident. You know, it could even be a minor injury. You get cut, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm losing a lot of blood. Well, I'm sorry, your religion says you're going to have blood. You're like, no. You're not going to get to enjoy, you know, being right when you're not alive.
Well, I mean, these people actually believe that you do, because you get to be in heaven going, guess I was right.
Be like, yeah, I made the right call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's happening, bro. I would not put all my eggs in that one basket, okay? Saying, like, I'm going to see my kids in heaven because I didn't get blood transfusions?
What a shocking revelation from the good atheist. Thank you, Jake. Thank you so much.
There you go.